Kieran, are you there? How are you, Kieran?
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. I want to take a look at this here because this week Lonely Planet revealed their list of Europe's top 50 secrets. Two spots in Ireland made the list. One was a tiny bit of land which branches off the Ring of Kerry called the Crumane Peninsula. And the other was having a pint of Guinness in Cavanagh's pub in Glasnevin, a place better known to the locals as the Gravediggers. That's Glasnevin in Dublin, by the way, Cavanagh's pub. So what makes this one particular pub so special in a country where there are pubs in every corner, the bloody length and breadth of the land? Kieran, what makes it so special? I mean, you are the proprietor's son and the chef and manager, is that right?
That would be me, yeah. We're six generations doing the same thing pretty much since 1833. So my dad, Eugene, is the sixth generation.
Well, that's nearly 200 years.
Yeah, 181 this year, yeah.
Right.
We opened up a year after the cemetery opened up in 1832, so...
All right, okay.
Saw so a bit of a busy trade there next door to us, so we got into it.
You're not the only one working there family-wise then at the moment,
no, my brother Niall and my sister Anne and my dad and myself.
Right.
My wife, Alfreda, sometimes gives her a hand as well.
Okay, I was going to ask, why is it called the Gravediggers? But you did mention Glasnevin Cemetery. Let me see if I can add two and two together here. Would that be it, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. When my dad took over in the mid-70s, all the gravediggers were still drinking there. It was a lot more employed back then. And the younger generation started drinking because of my dad. He was quite young then. And they saw all the gravediggers drinking there and said, oh, this must be the Gravediggers pub.
And would, then took off. Would there be a lot of wakes in there and all that kind of thing?
Not so much now, it's kind of changed. Back in the 50s and 60s, you would have got a few. Actually, back in the late 1900s, there was quite a lot, and that's one of the reasons they closed the gate beside us, because some people are forgetting to go to the graveside.
And like the Lonely Planet thingamabob, Europe's top 50 secrets, do you find it just hilarious, or do you think it's about time?
I think
it's
a bit surreal, all right. Yeah, it's a secret kind of spot, but it's different. It's nice. I'm glad we're involved in it. It's really good.
And would you find people coming from far-flung places from all over the world who will now come to the Gravediggers because they want to check out one of Europe's top 50 secrets?
Well, they've been coming for a fair few years now, Dave, to be honest.
It's kind of
well known.
I realise that.
Off the track. Like, it's kind of off the beaten track, but it's on the tourist track in a way. But it's kind of hard to find, so the tourists who find it really kind of enjoy their pints when they get here.
Right, I get you, yeah. Okay, so it's a Victorian pub, 200 years old nearly. Has it changed much?
My dad moved the counter back in 73 and put in the toilets, that was about it. And then in 1980 he bit the lounge next door to it, but before that it was just a bar.
It was just the bar, and has the bar, sounds like the bar hasn't really changed much at all.
No, I think the last lick of paint was in the mid-80s.
The last lick of paint.
Yeah, and the last bit of nicotine was in 2000 and whatever.
Oh, it certainly was. Yeah, no, it was 10 years ago this year sometime.
That's right, indeed.
Yeah. Are there still brown stains on the walls, no?
Oh, yeah, it's a reminder what smoke can do to your furniture and your lungs, I suppose.
Yeah, right, exactly, indeed. And then the old guy smoking the pipes as well. I kind of missed. Oh, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Well, they still hang around the front of the door. You can still get the waft every now and then, you know, when you're going outside.
Actually, do guys go outside smoking pipes? Does anybody smoke a pipe anymore?
Yeah, we get a couple of guys still now come out. Outside on usually Friday afternoon, a couple of guys that finish work and then have a pint outside and they'll stand by the door and smoke away the pipe. It's lovely,
really. Yeah, it's a nice smell, all right. Yeah,
it's gorgeous, yeah.
Sounds like you miss it. Okay, now let's take a look. Okay, you don't have, or do you, I presume, my God, you don't have piped music or American
sports? No music, no
sports,
no TV. Like when we moved in the early 70s, there were a couple of guys would have sing and played an instrument, but then my dad had a young family and my mum kind of said to my dad, listen, kids can't sleep. So the kind of music stopped. Right. So, yeah, we don't have music or TV since.
And do you have a TV?
We didn't have a TV or a telephone either for a long, long time.
And do you have a TV in the lounge?
No, nothing. Same on the same side. All I do in the lounge is food and drinking.
So it's not going to be a World Cup pub.
It's the alternative.
Oh, it's the alternative, exactly, yeah. And by the way, when you say a phone, is that a press button A, press button B kind of phone?
No, it was just after the A and B one. And it was only four calls coming in where it's not going out.
Oh, right, I see, yeah.
No, sorry, the other way around, going out. Not going out.
Because I tell you, it's funny. Do you remember the old days of all that kind of thing? Of like, is there a Tommy O'Neill in here? That's all gone now, with the old mobiles, yeah. Okay, Luke Kelly. Tell me about Luke Kelly's funeral.
Yeah, a lot of your friends would have come here after that, and they all had their instruments with us. They were going to wake somewhere else, but they stopped in for a pint, and they start tuning up all their instruments, you know, and... they started to, you know, get their voices cleared, and my dad had to go out. It was very, very busy both sides in the bar and the lounge, and my dad, because we had an old singing policy and no music, he went, no, sorry, lads, you know, if I let you guys sing, I have to let everybody sing. And, you know, treats everybody the same, so everybody put their instruments away and said, cheers, thanks very much, and off they went.
Ah, tell Eugene, it's a that was a bit of a special occasion.
It would have been amazing because Kelly. It's the bootleg thing, but that's, you know, you have to be fair, you know, that's how we work. It's one rule for everybody kind of thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
You have to be fair.
Well, then, hold on, that one rule for everybody then, there is no TV or there is no nothing about that kind of stuff at all in the pub, right? So you had been away, I presume, around, like, did you go, you didn't just go straight into this, did you?
No, I've been a chef for 15 years, travelling around Europe and a few places like the Bahamas and stuff. And I came back in 2005 and got involved with my sister to start doing food in the lounge, just to bring the business back up, because the bar is always taken away because of its history or whatever, but the lounge has kind of lost it because of not having music or TV. And everybody else did, watching Sky or whatever. So what we did is we just started doing food slowly, and it's kind of doing really well now. And but it's still a very small operation, so sometimes you run out of food and stuff. So.
But like your cooking skills, do you bring them to bear on the pub, like in terms of tapas and sort of pub?
Oh, yeah. It's totally, the menu changes every day. Like lunch is different and tapas evening menu is different.
So it's very important that you realise that putting on the lounge is something that maybe was slightly whatever, so it's very much separate from the bar.
Oh, yeah, I never have food where you're drinking going on, really. Yeah. Like, you know, if you're having your pint and you can't really, you know, you want to enjoy two or three and there's a guy with a steak beside you or like, whatever, but had his bravas, you kind of get, you know, I'd like some of that.
Right, well, look...
So we kind of keep it separate, yeah.
Okay, well, the thing about it is that we're talking about here, like, you know, that you're in the Lonely Planet in the list of Europe's top 50 secrets, and it is the Gravediggers, and it is the Cabinets Pub in Glasnevin, and it's all about just what it is and the hatch and all the rest of it. So is it so big and important that it's been used in ads and used in movies?
Well, I think they use it more so because it's a ready-made set, I think, and, you know, it's... You step back in time straight away.
What are you
talking
about? Like the bar or the snow?
The bar, that kind of thing. When they use it for the movies and for the ads, they just come in, take a couple of pictures down and put a few old pictures up and they've got a ready-made set.
And what kind of movie has it been in?
Lately, Quirk and Ripper Street.
Quirk is getting into a lot of trouble in England because nobody can understand what anybody's saying.
Yeah, they kind of mumbled a lot. Yeah,
there's a lot of mumbling going on with Gabriel, over the sound man or something, And I believe it was in Quacks of Fortune as a Cousin in the Bronx.
Yeah, that was probably the first big movie, blockbuster one.
That was a great movie, Gene Wilder, I remember. David Kelly was in that, I think.
That's right, too. There's actually a really cool scene you can see of the two of them having a drink together. It's
really?
Cool. Yeah,
right,
and Margot Kidder from Superman.
Oh, that's right.
Lois Lane, yeah.
Yeah, Lois Lane. She's had a strange career since, by the way. Did you ever read her story? You should check it out. Very odd. Anyway, it must be something to do with the pints, maybe, in your place. Mrs. Brown's Boys was done there as well, wasn't there? Something?
Yeah, exterior shots. They changed the name. The only first time, I think, it was been done. I don't think the second time it's been changed. And they had Foley's Bar over it because that's the name of the pub in the movie.
And ads on TV as well. All right, well, listen, look, it's in the Lonely Planet. So, like, I mean, by the way, did you check out the other 49 of Europe's top secrets?
A couple of them.
Like what kind of thing would we be talking about that's in there?
There's like a church in Croatia and there's like a valley in Italy and there's that kind of stuff. There's very
a
few
church in Croatia, a valley in Italy and a pub in Dublin.
Yeah.
very good. Well, listen, congratulations and well done. And I presume you're going to keep going on and on. You'll get past the 200 years with the family, will you?
Oh, please God, yeah. Double figures, hopefully.
Double figures indeed, yeah. All right, listen, good man. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us. That is Eugene. Eugene is the dad. Kieran Kavanagh. Thanks very much indeed. You're nothing to... I used to be friendly with a guy in school called Kieran Kavanagh.
It's not
you, is it? No.
Okay. I'm a bit younger, maybe. I don't know.
Right. All right, take it easy, Kieran. Come on.
Thanks, Dave.
Good luck.
Thanks,
all right, bye.